Well, first to West Auckland, where the hilly, bush-clad, beautiful suburb of Te Rangi is one of the hardest hit as more heavy rain threatens the region today. Days of heavy rain has brought down slips, leaving some homes teetering on hillsides and tearing huge chunks out of roads. Thousands of residents are without water, and while water tankers have been brought in, there are many who live too far off the road to lug water in. And with further deluges forecast, the risk of more landslides looms large. Paul and Claire Bell live in Paturoa Road, Te Rangi. On Friday night, 50 metres of bank in front of their home disappeared. The picture on the website says it all, and it must have been terrifying. Their second baby is due in 3 weeks' time, and they're unsure whether they can move home. Paul, good morning. And look, condolences for all the stress of this.
Good morning, Catherine. Yeah, so thank you, and, you know, I suppose everyone's been really affected. It's not just us, but you know, we're you know, very very upset. Our whole hill has gone as well. So, yeah, everyone's working together as a community at the moment. There's a lot of people stuck and a lot of people out of place.
How is the situation this morning? What is it? As you've just had this time to begin to process and perhaps to begin to hear some advice, just describe the situation that you and your neighbours are in.
Yeah, it's pretty daunting because it's a pretty vertical slip, and it is right there at the property. So, you know, we're monitoring the slip ourselves. Our neighbours actually set up an arc camera so we can keep an eye on movement for it, and you know, we've got lines measuring it just so we can see how it's moving. I think for us and our two neighbours, we've got a neighbour to the side of us and obviously the neighbour down the hill, which the hill is on his roof. We're already working together really quickly, so you know, we're joined on details, we're joined on our claims, we're sharing information, and we're working together really really fast. I think, you know, for us all, we just want to get into a bit of a hustle around how we approach this, because it's a bit, and with the weather, you know, the weather forecast, which we just heard before this, we've got more weather coming, and the longer we leave it with no action, you know, potentially the damage will increase. You can kind of see the deck foundations are exposed there. You know, essentially connected back into a retaining wall, which is connected back into the foundation of the house. So if the scarp, they're calling it, keeps wearing, then, you know, essentially it puts more of the house at risk above it. So we're just trying to move as fast as possible.
It's heartbreaking to look at that trampoline literally actually in the top of the slip there. It's a reminder of just how serious these situations are. And for you and your neighbours, what decisions are you making? Are you red-stickered? Are you having to make that decision yourself about whether to even be in these properties or on these properties at the moment?
Yeah, so, I mean, look, we've made the decision to keep out of the property. We're just our parents are just up the road, so we can evacuate, and our neighbours are looking after the property and whatnot. We are yellow stickered, so we can be in the property but not go near the deck stage. But, you know, obviously with the understanding that the slip is going to keep moving, you know, we will stay away. Yeah, and we should have a geotechnical completed. We're very lucky because we've received a lot of great advice quickly. So we're pushing things, you know, we're doing our own due diligence very quickly because of the situation. It will continue to escalate the longer we leave it. So, you know, we've got on to professionals really quickly and managed to get a geotechnical report faster than our assessors. So we're
capable people, but just explain a little bit more about the process, because many people will either be going through this or face going through this. As you said, you there are connections with neighbours, practical connections with neighbours, and can you just explain a little bit more about the EQC process, both your individual homes, but also the fact that you're all impacted?
Yes. I suppose our one will be a little bit complex. I'm sure other slips will be in the same boat, but there's properties affected. There's three different insurance, home insurance companies that are involved, which means there's three different EQC. There's three different EQC claims for land, which will all have their own contractors and their own assessors. So we had the first assessor from the neighbour on site today. We're waiting for our assessor and then the downstairs neighbour, you know, that internet or power or anything. So it's a little bit more difficult for him to, be in touch and keep the process moving. But I suppose that complexity will come in this is, hey, we've got three properties affected, three insurance companies who will be fronting that, probably three different contractors fronting that, and then multiple perspectives on, how it should be fixed, payments to the different properties, how that's pooled, how that's remediated. It'll be an interesting one for sure.
What's your understanding of how this kind of damage can be remediated and who would be liable for that? Often it's EQC, it's private insurer, and it's local council. What's your understanding of, as well as the private landowners, of course, but that's their private insurer primarily. What's your understanding of what's going to happen from here and how liability might be assessed?
Yeah, I think probably the first thing is, it's fantastic. We've got a Land Act. Other countries that wouldn't have a Land Act, it would be tough cookies. So the first thing is, it's great we've got a Land Act. Now we've got to see how the process works, which is probably the next bit. It'll be interesting to see how that works. But, essentially the Act has policies around how they value, and typically the value is, 8 metres of a land from a pertinent structure, so a footing or something, a point that they deem structure. So they cover 8 metres of land that has been affected, and then also back from that land, impacted or land at risk. There's a value created for that land. There's a remediation method put together, and then the payout would be on whichever is lower. So if the remediation's cost lower, you'd get that. If the land value's lower, you'd get that. I suppose the concern here is that it looks like a pretty complex fix, and we've got questions of, if that process is happening individually, how contributions pooled to fix the issue, and even with the issue, even with the contributions pooled, is the land value going to be near the remediation cost, and how is that delta? How big's that delta? They have talked about to fix it already. There's been talk of stage retaining. There's been talk of pinning and securing the scarp. But I suppose the key thing, or one of the bigger concerns for us, is not only utilization, but we live in a national park and we've got massive kauri on the and we don't want to leave a massive blemish and scar on the area either. So there's a few things in play.
What's happening around you? We're talking at the moment to the local MP about the roads, and I've been reading about other locals in Titirangi talking about their frustration back to the council over a long time, trying to deal with concerns they had about roads. What's the broader situation where you are, Paul?
Yeah, there's a lot of slips that have happened. There are slips on our road, and there is software that's been there for a fairly long time on our road as well. So one of the slips that happened down, has got a repair kind of near that area of the road, and the retaining is pretty old. So that, there are elements of how we're upkeeping some of this around here. But also, there are areas of slip that have had massive retaining work done. There was a lot of rain. I think our geotech said that our north-facing bank probably got closer to 300 mils in that day. That much water on all the soil, and that connection between soil and rock is can be very difficult. So there is roading issues around the area as well, but no one was probably expecting that much rain.
Indeed, Paul, and one can only imagine what you all went through. Did this happen dramatically? Did you hear a noise on such a scale you knew it had happened, or how did it unfold?
Oh, yeah, we heard it all right. It was scary. We had actually just saved our friend down in Green Bay. Their house was underwater. So we managed to get down there get them up on top of the hill. Just having a conversation around, he was kind of saying, oh, you know, I don't want to live at the bottom of the hill anymore. I want to move to the top of the hill. And kind of just when he said that, there was an awful noise outside. We thought a tree was going down, so we ran out onto the deck. We could see the trees moving. So we went out to have a look at the trees, and you're just looking down into the entire hillside is gone. And it wasn't, you know, like there's a lot of hillside like that around here. It was steep before. It wasn't as precarious as it looks before. It's obviously precarious now, but you would have looked at that bush and just thought, you know, there's no way that's going. I'm never concerned about it. And actually, I walked around the property just because I'd gone and got my friends from their house, seen all the slips happening. So I actually did a walk around the property to check whether there was any weird water or waterfalls running places and whatnot. And the property looked fine. But yeah, there was an awful grumble. Ran onto the deck, saw the whole hill had gone. We packed and ran pretty much. We didn't know the situation, but we could see how dramatic it was. So we were lucky enough to be able to get up the road to my parents.
Well, so wonderful to have that there. As we said, your wife expecting your second baby in just 3 weeks' time. So, goodness, wonderful that there are family nearby to look after you. And in terms of the wider community, I keep hearing from Te Tārangi, as in other communities, everyone's looking after each other, pulling together. But, more broadly, is there help coming from the council or advice coming from the council? Are people getting what they need?
We've been lucky because we've been able to. There's a lot of residents in the area that are not so lucky. There are areas that are completely blocked off, and my sister actually the only way that they could get out was, you know, essentially doing a bushwalk because all the roads were blocked off and slipped and whatnot. And there was no power, no water. I know down in Wood Bay there's been a no power, no water, and slips on both sides for a while as well. So we were really lucky that we could get out, and, you know, but the community is really huddling together. There's water tanks and plus, but, you know, I know council and everyone are dealing with some pretty massive issues here, but, you know, the longer it goes on, the more, I suppose, more frustrating it will get because people are really at this.
Thank you, Paul. Paul Bell, who lives in Paturoa Road in Te Tārangi with his family. 50 metres of bank in front of their home just disappeared suddenly on Friday night. You can see the image on our website, and they are now in the process, as so many will be, of dealing with multiple players in order to begin the insurance and remediation process. A little bit more on that in a moment. But first, Deborah Russell's with us. She's MP for the area. She's Labour's new Lin MP. She's also a Te Tārangi local who lives on one of the roads most seriously affected by slips. Kia ora, Deborah.
Kia ora.
So could you give us an overview of the wider area? Paturoa Road, we heard about, obviously, big landslides there. Where else?
Tory Bay Road has several big landslides as well, and the road is it's open to residents only at the moment. It's down to one lane in places. So that's a bit scary. The same thing is true of Te Tārangi Beach Road. Valley Road is open again now. Wood Bay Road is down to one lane in places, and as far as I know, one end of it is still blocked off. So for a lot of places around Te Tārangi, the access is very limited, and of course it's fragile now. So that's all a bit worrying.
Worrying with more rain coming, of course it is, Deborah. And I understand you live on one of the roads that's been affected by a major slip. How's your own home?
We're at the top of the road, so far we're all good. We were evacuated on Friday night. That was our local fire brigade just being very cautious because a large slip had just gone down. It was dark. They couldn't see how big the slip was, so they asked residents near the slip to evacuate for the night. That was comparatively easy for us. We've got friends. We could bring them up and say, hey, we're coming to stay. And I know for a lot of people it's been comparatively easy to arrange some place to stay. The real worry I have with people who've had to evacuate is some of the large families, some of our Pacifica families, who, you know, they've got plenty of friends and communities and networks, but their own friends have crowded housing already anyway, so it can be hard for them to arrange a place to go to.
What has the official response to the emergency been like from your point of view?
Well, look, fantastic stuff from people on the ground. So my local fire brigade, the Tirirangi Fire Brigade, has been wonderful getting water to people and, you know, working on the slips and all those sorts of things. Locals have gathered around, and I was listening to Paul just now, and, you know, people have gathered around and looked after each other. Watercare has been getting water tankers to various places. But, of course, a lot of roads are blocked to vehicle access, and so that means even if you can walk out, it's very hard to carry, you know, big canisters of water back in. So I think I've been asking Watercare if we can do something other than just water tankers, because in some areas we need to have people perhaps going door to door just carrying canisters of water in.
Has that been a frustration, that the one-to-one communication, and obviously it's an emergency, right, but days on now, has there been a lack of one-to-one communication, perhaps especially with the most vulnerable?
Yes, I've been worried about that. I think it has been difficult to get that one-to-one. Part of the problem is people's power is out, so they may not, and their devices may not be charged up. And in some places, the internet has gone out as well. So people have been lacking, don't have communication. Some of our older residents don't use the internet anyway. So we've been worried about people in their houses and perhaps having no official communication. I got some of my volunteers out yesterday, so I sent a message out to my Labour Party mates at about 11:30 yesterday, and by 1 o'clock, you know, about 20 of them had turned up and said, yes, we'll go and door knock on a couple of roads to see if people are okay.
Thank you. That is Deborah Russell. It is MP for New Lynn.